you would help us, Lord, to rightly understand, as you would have us, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. As we meditate on that, Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand so that we can worship you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible, I ask that you would please turn to John chapter 1. We're going to be looking there tonight. John chapter 1, verse 14, which I read earlier for our call to worship. I'm going to read it again for us now. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Many of you know that my wife Chelsea and I lived in Tijuana, Mexico for a year. And if you're familiar with Tijuana, or if you're not, it's on the northwest border of Mexico, just south of San Diego. And because it's a border city, all sorts of people come to Tijuana to seek entry into the United States. Maybe some of you have seen the news where you have these massive caravans of migrants moving up from Latin America up into Mexico because they're trying to get to the border, to the Mexican border, to get into the United States. So thousands and thousands of people are doing this and moving north to try to get in. And because Tijuana is the border city that it is, there were lots and lots of these migrants there in Tijuana. And since there were so many of them, and many of them were very poor, as they waited to get into the U.S., they started putting up tents around the border. And there were so many tents being put up that they started calling the area where they were putting up these tents Tent City. They called it Tent City. And these places are notorious for being filthy and oftentimes very dangerous. Not a safe or comfortable place to be. And in all of our time in Mexico, we never heard of the president of Mexico coming to live in the Tent City. The president, of course, lives in a palace down in Mexico City. We never heard of him coming and putting up a tent to live in Tent City instead. And not to pick on him, I've never heard of any leader, any world leader, doing something like this, to leave his comfortable place of residence in order to live in a filthy, dangerous place. It's unheard of. A head of state may go and visit for a day the poor to show their support, to show their concern for them, but never would they go live there, take up residence there. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took on flesh to dwell among us. He left his throne in heaven to live in the tent city of our world. And he didn't just come for a visit, but he came to live among us. I want to make a few observations about Jesus from John 1:14 to help us grow to appreciate the reason for Christmas and the reason that we're here this evening. John 1:14 refers to Jesus as the Word. The Word became flesh. What this means is that the full message of God is found in the person of Jesus. He is the communication of God in a person. And so he's also called the revelation of God in other places. When we consider Christ, we have before us a perfect communication of the truth of who God is. And he came to us that we might know this perfect message. All the knowledge of God is found in Jesus Christ. And it's one thing for us to read about Jesus becoming flesh. Words on a page by themselves don't mean very much. If what's written doesn't reflect reality, then nobody will accept it. If claims are made that are without any support, then nobody is going to take those claims seriously. Jesus became flesh. And John, who wrote this book, and Jesus' other followers, literally looked at him and saw the glory of God. When they looked at the human face of Christ, all of who God is was there. The glory of the eternal God took on flesh and blood. John and those with him looked at this face of Jesus Christ. They walked with Jesus. They lived with Jesus. They heard him teach. They saw him eat. They saw him die. And then they saw him rise again in a physical body. And now John is bearing witness that without doubt, he saw God when he looked at Jesus. He saw the Son of God, the only Son, who is from the Father. He is the only begotten one, which means that he is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. And there's only one who holds that identity. To see Jesus is to see the glory of God. He is the image of God, as another place in Scripture says about him. And it's amazing to think that this was true of Jesus even when he was a baby. When he came to earth and took on flesh, the glory of God was seen in that infant boy. To look at that baby in the manger was to look at the glory of God, even in his vulnerable state as a newborn. If you look down at verse 18 in John chapter 1, it says that Jesus has made the Father known. God the Father, of course, cannot be seen. He is spirit, and nobody has seen him, but Jesus makes him known. The word for make known is where we get our English word exegete from, if you've heard of that word, or expound. We use this word in relation to interpreting the Bible, usually. Those of us who want to understand what the Bible says, we exegete the Bible, we exegete passages. We seek to properly interpret it, is what that means, to bring out what is there. And of course, we, as fallible people, do this imperfectly. But Jesus perfectly expounds to us who God is. The person of Jesus exegetes, expounds the Father, and communicates him. The glory of God is explained in Jesus. And when he became a man, he made God's glory available to us. His coming in the flesh revealed God's glory to us. And then finally, in verse 14, he is full of grace and truth. Infinite grace, exhaustive truth are found in Jesus Christ. The grace of God comes through him. The only way God could show us favor is if someone else stands in our place to cover our sin. We could not know God's grace otherwise. Jesus' coming shows us how grace is possible. And because he's God, he has an endless supply of it. There is no shortage of grace in Jesus Christ. I love the way it's explained down in verse 16. If you look at verse 16, his grace there is described as grace upon grace, or grace for grace. Grace followed by more grace with no end. In the Rocky Mountains, there are all these high mountain streams. And it's interesting that there is always water in these streams. Many of them have their headwaters not far away up the mountain. And it's not like there's a massive water tank somewhere that is supplying these streams with more water. There's not an engineered, man-made water line flowing into them to keep them flowing. But through snowmelt and rain and whatever else, there is always water flowing in those little streams. And it's made me wonder, how does that water not run out? Sometimes. I mean, you can look at some of the streams around here. With our recent drought, many of the creeks have literally run dry. You'll see that. So it's not hard for us to imagine how this could happen. But the streams I've seen 10,000 feet up in the Colorado Rocky Mountains do not run dry. Water is always replaced with more water, and on and on. This is what the grace of Christ is like. It's hard for us to imagine something infinite, something that does not have limits, because we do. But that's what it means for Jesus to be full of grace. For us who believe in him, there is always grace to sustain and keep us. And for everyone who doesn't know him, there's grace for anybody who would come to him. And it will not run out. He's also full of truth. An exhaustive account of all that is right is found in Jesus Christ. Everything that's pure truth, without any error, is in Jesus. Jesus says later in the Gospel of John that he is the truth himself. He is the truth of God. Coming to Jesus is to come to know the truth of God. It doesn't mean we'll know it exhaustively, but it means we'll know the one who does know it exhaustively. Tonight, we celebrate the night that Jesus Christ was born. If he wouldn't have come, we could not know the glory of God. If he wouldn't have come, we would have no way of knowing God. We couldn't know God's grace by faith if he would not have come. We couldn't even know truth apart from Jesus Christ. What a night that would have been when he was born. To have been among those shepherds or wise men as they saw baby Jesus lying in that manger. On the basis of that birth, we have salvation. On the basis of that birth, more and more people continue to come to know him, to have salvation. We worship him tonight because he did come. He came to pitch his tent among us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Christ humbling himself to do what he did not deserve so that we could gain what we did not deserve. Lord, we worship you. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that you would bless the rest of our night, and as we celebrate Christmas, that it would be to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.